Palace of Zards?
Yes, it has.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, then let's get started. This is Brian Cute, the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, conference call 12 of Thursday, 12 September. Welcome all on the call and online. We have a proposed agenda up in the Adobe Room. First order of business to adopt the agenda. There's seven items. Second, after adopting the agenda, is adopting preliminary report from call 12, updating statements of interest, discussion with who is implementation staff. Fifth item, progress update from template and issues owners. Sixth item, preparation for Washington, D.C. meeting, and then any other business. Are there any suggested changes, corrections to the agenda? Looking for hands. Seeing none, the agenda will be deemed adopted. Move to item number two, which is adopting preliminary reports from call 11. We have just one preliminary report this time. Could you put that up on the screen, please?
Actually, Brian, this will be deferred to Washington, if okay.
I'm sorry, Alice, say that again.
Sorry, my line is bad. I was just saying that, unfortunately, the preliminary report is not ready yet, so if you have no objections, we will present it to the team by Washington.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. We'll put that off to next week. Item number three, update to statements of interest, if any, for the ACRT2 members on the call. Do you have any updates to your statements of interest that relate to our conflict of interest policy that we've adopted? Looking for hands. Okay, seeing none. Move to item number four on the agenda, discussion with who is implementation staff. So at this point, we've been asking ICANN staff to provide us with inputs as we are developing our recommendations. And I assume that Margie Milam, you are here primarily to lead that part of the discussion.
Yes, I am. And I also have Chris Gift and Steve Allison, who works with Chris, to talk about some of the technology issues, some of the development that's going underway with respect to some of their key projects.
Great. Okay, well, welcome, Chris. Welcome, Steve. At this point, Margie, feel free to take the floor.
Sure. And hello, everyone. It's good to have this opportunity to update you on the work we've done. What I have posted up in the Adobe Connect room is a document that I circulated or had asked Larissa to circulate end of August that tries to give you a little bit more depth on the kinds of work that's being done in connection with the implementation of the WHOIS review team recommendations. I'm not going to go through all nine pages of it, but if it's okay with you, I'll highlight some of the high points just to give you the flavor of where we are on implementation, and then I'll ask Steve to jump in on some of the exciting work that he's doing as well. And then the question for you all is, would you like to take questions while I make my presentation or afterwards? What do you prefer?
Probably along the way, if you don't mind a little bit.
Okay. Well, I'll keep an eye on the queue, and if you raise your hand, I'll know to pause.
Thanks very much.
Okay. So what we did, I think after hearing some of the discussions that we've had with the review team earlier, it was pretty clear that we hadn't provided enough detail on the amount of work that's been done. And so I took the time to work with the various departments to hopefully give you a better idea of where the work stands and some of the expected milestones that you might see in the future. And so the first thing I really wanted to highlight, because it's hard to really condense this part of the recommendation down into concrete items, but the fact that WHOIS is a strategic priority for ICANN. I think, as I thought about that question and how do you actually show that it is a strategic priority, I took the time to try to really lay out the different areas of it, including, when you think of strategy, you think of the strategic plan work that's underway that Denise Michelle is leading up, as well as, what happened in the past before Fadi joined. Certainly, WHOIS is part of that. It's part of the budget cycle. And even once Fadi came on board, that was, you know, very clear early on when he joined ICANN that WHOISM was something he really intended to tackle and tackle well. And so what you see since Fadi's joining is really a series of activities that are trying to address all aspects of WHOISM. But a lot of the focus was in the contracts themselves, because some of the limitations that you may have read about in the report were related to perhaps not having the best contract language, not having obligations relating to validation or verification, for example. And so since November, you really see in the chart and you know, throughout the work that ICANN is doing, you know, a concerted effort to try to improve the contract so that we have a better base of obligations from which to examine, you know, how WHOISM is working and how to make it more effective. And so that's really, you know, I think what I wanted to highlight, with at least with respect to the very first recommendation about WHOISM being a priority for ICANN. And then I'll just pause and see if there's any questions related to number one. Brian?
Yeah, actually, Margie, not into the substance yet, but, you know, looking at the document you provided, certain aspects of it strike me as, you know, helpful and or potentially very helpful. The indication of green, blue, and purple to indicate the various stages, I think that's always helpful contextual type of information. Is this format a format that you developed to provide to the ATRT2 uniquely as it pertained to WHOISM, or is Denise working with the rest of the staff to develop this type of a format? And the reason I ask is twofold, just anticipating the inputs that we're going to get from staff in writing, number one, in what form and what to anticipate, but also in our recommendations for future review teams and metrics and reports from the staff, we need to put some thought to if we have specific suggestions about how to measure and how to report out. This could be helpful to inform that thinking. So from those two perspectives, is this unique to your input, or is this going to be something of a standard? And what was the thinking behind, you know, the three different colors and the presentation of the data to us today?
One of the discussions that Denise and I have had, and Larissa as well, is to try to standardize reporting going forward on all aspects. This was a kind of a unique design, because I knew that you had specific questions, and also, too, I was wanted to make it easy to read. That was one of my goals in putting this together, was that you could look at it, it'd be a snapshot. But I do, and I don't know if Denise wants to address this, but I am aware that she's trying to, within the approach going forward, to try to standardize reporting. And if you think this format is helpful, that's good to know.
Yes, just to follow up, we use a variety of different mechanisms to track the very complex and data-heavy implementation of the various ATRT1 projects. And ultimately, I think in the last year of implementation, consistently used a WHOISM reporting table. And so this, for public reporting, so this is in line with that, and we're working with our comms team to come up with a user-friendly template that we can use to regularly update the public on the status of implementation of all the reviews, including SSR and the future consumer review.
That's very helpful. Good to know. And again, we're going to want to engage in the broader conversation, Denise, absolutely, about, you know, what are some of the better ways to present data? What should the review team be asking for, so that the next time around we have even more efficiencies? One question, and it's nothing that even has to be answered now, but obviously you've heard us hit this point a number of times in the course of the last few months, is what's the effect of implementation? And I'm not sure, particularly with this bit of work, as you know, much of it is in process or in planning. There are some I see as green. maybe not being at a point where measuring or reporting on the effective implementation is realistically possible. But do put some thinking to that, and in, you know, other inputs you give us or other data that you provide as we go forward, if you can start speaking to that and or suggest to us how you might speak to that, that would be a very good point to focus on as well. But this is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. So I'll also continue. The other thing I wanted to point out about the document is that it really measures against the board resolution that responded to the new interview team recommendation. And I did circulate yesterday something that was a little different, which actually highlights where there was an alternative implementation with regard to the Who Is Review Team recommendation, so that you can look at it from two perspectives. And I hope that was helpful as well. But I was just really trying to capture some of the discussions you've had so that you have an easy way to understand, you know, where the implementation efforts went.
Yeah, very much so. Thank you. Please.
Okay, so if we progress down the chart, I'm trying to think what else is here. A couple things I wanted to also highlight on number one. One of the areas where there was an alternative implementation related to whether there was a board committee set up merely to specifically for Who Is. And as we indicated in the response, that the board felt that it was important that the entire board be involved in the Who Is, you know, implementation and keep tabs of it. So there was not a committee created for that purpose. But I wanted to highlight how the board does get updated, because I think that was a concern that you've raised in the past. And really, what happens is staff provides updates to the board in board workshops that are specific to, you know, Who Is Review Team implementation, so that they are aware of the status, and we have one scheduled for the next board workshop at the end of the month. So that's just something I wanted to highlight. And then with respect to the public's view on implementation, we have a series of things that are highlighted in the response that reflect, you know, how the implementation efforts are undergoing. And once we have the Who Is informational website that Chris will talk about in a few minutes, that'll be a great place to include those kinds of information on how, where Who Is going and what the next steps are with respect to implementation. And then with regard to number two, the single Who Is policy, we heard the concerns that although the Who Is review team wanted a single source document, and we published a document of identifying where the contract language is that relates to Who Is, we're actually engaging in an internal effort to try to come up with a non-lawyers, simple English description of what the entire Who Is policy or system is under the current framework. And so that is something that, you know, is meant to really take the contract language, take the consensus policy language, and try to condense it into a simple format so that someone can understand, you know, what Who Is, you know, what the entire parameters of Who Is, you know, publicly accessible by website, by, you know, technical means, you know, but in a very high level so that it's simple to understand. And that's scheduled for delivery. It'll be posted in the Who Is informational website by the end of October. Any questions on that? Okay.
Yeah, Margie, if you don't mind, it's Brian. Oh, yeah, Alan's, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment that in the companion documents that you sent along, there's a reference to, in order to have a single Who Is policy referenced in the agreements, and I'm not quite sure what agreements are talked about, a GNSO PDP would be needed. I don't believe, I may be wrong, but I don't recall that the Who Is review team asked for a single policy. They asked for a single policy document. So I'm not quite sure what agreements are being referred to in that paragraph. And if you want to go over that other document separately later, we can do that.
Sure, sure. I thought there was a recommendation that asked for all the agreements to link to a single document, and that's where we had a little bit of you know difficulty in the implementation because the WHOIS system, if you will, is spread out through the contract, you know, and the policy itself. And
okay,
so,
we need to go back to look at the actual wording. I don't recall that exact wording, but we'll deal with that later.
Sure.
Overall, by the way, since I have the microphone, if we had received a document like this at the beginning, this would have been a lot less painful on all parties. So thank you now.
Oh, well, thank you for that. And the other thing I wanted to point out, which is a theme throughout some of the responses, is that, you know, WHOIS is evolving as we speak. And so even the document that we published back in, you know, April, well, now that has to be updated because we have the new 2013 RAA, we have the new registry agreement, we have the renewals of some of the existing registry agreements. And so it's one of those things where even when you do something like, you know, provide the single source page, well, now that's, you know, needs to be updated. So a lot of this work is going to be ongoing, you know, because it's meant to be fresh and it's meant to be useful. And so that's what I wanted to point out with respect to this this recommendation. And then with the outreach issues, the outreach is really, you know, and particularly the communications plan that's related to the outreach is really going to be kicked off when the informational website is live. And that's where there's a lot of concentrated effort that's going to be done on the communication staff to really get out there and try to publicize, you know, the existence of the WHOIS website and how it helps consumers. Because, you know, one of the key recommendations from the WHOIS review team was to try to educate, you know, the registrants on what their obligations are with respect to WHOIS, and that's a very important one. So that's perhaps why you haven't seen very much, you know, from the communication standpoint on this issue up until, you know, until we've launched. But as soon as we've launched, that's there's a plan to really take it out to the next level. And I've heard the criticisms that we haven't provided you a copy of the communications plan. I've asked the marketing team to go back and the communications team to go back and update the plan, and we'll provide that with provide a copy to you. We're looking at next week to be able to do that. And then the other aspect of education is not the registrant side, but the registrar side, particularly with respect to the new obligations under the 2013 RAA. There's a huge effort underway that the registrar services team is undertaking to try to educate registrars all over the world with respect to what the new obligations are. And so you'll see that in that document we provided. Any questions on number three?
Margie, this is Brian. Just jumping back to number two for a second, and I think you were correct. It was a recommendation that the ICANN board should oversee the creation of a single WHOIS policy document. It was noting that the policy itself is poorly defined and decentralized, but the precise recommendation was to develop a document. So I think having that word in the single WHOIS policy document for clarity's sake, either, you know, a full quotation of the recommendation or if shorthanding it, make sure it's absolutely spot on. I mean, we've all witnessed how just slight misunderstandings in this area can lead to deeper, unnecessary misunderstandings. But I think you were quite right. It was a document. So my recommendation would be add the word document there and then check the rest of them just for clarity or just full quotation of the recommendation so there's no room for misunderstanding.
Perfect. Thank you.
Brian? It's Alan.
Sure. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah. In fairness to staff, the recommendation title in the review team report was Single WHOIS Policy. That isn't what they asked for, but that was the title they used. So the, you know, that already opens up the level of confusion. And what indeed they asked for was a single policy document. And as Margie was, I think this is what Margie was alluding to, reference to it in subsequent agreements with contracted parties.
Now, right, and that's the part, that's the part we have.
To what extent one could write a single document describing the policy that is understandable by humans and could be used to be pointed to by contracts, I'm not quite sure those two could be done at the same time.
Brian, Alan, it's Michael Yakushev calling. May I intervene because I'm unable to raise the hand in the Adobe, unfortunately?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Certainly.
Thank you. I'm sorry, something is wrong with my Adobe, so I can't raise hand there. So what we meant in this point two of the recommendations is exactly what Alan just mentioned. So the WHO's policy now is like a constitution of the United Kingdom, where we all know that it is a constitutional monarchy, but it's not a written constitution as a single document. So the idea was to create the single document, a single policy document, where it would be totally clear what's all about, what kind of standards and requirements and policies exist. So I also do recognize what was mentioned by Brian and by other colleagues during our Los Angeles meeting, that the board is not obliged to accept and to implement all the recommendations of the review teams as they were formulated for any reason. So that is why I do accept and I fully understand situations where some recommendations cannot be implemented or should be implemented in the other way, as it was also demonstrated in the recent document which was distributed by Larissa. However, it seems to me this is exactly the case where the recommendation of who is the review team is implemented in another way rather than it was, the main idea of our who is the review team from the very beginning. And there could be some, rationale and some justifications and arguments why it was done in another way. But, of course, we should state that what we got from the board and from the staff is not exactly what we wanted, what the WHO review team intended to receive. And it's not like a criticism. It's exactly what I would like to state. And I think it would avoid a lot of misunderstanding in the future when, rather than to insist that way implementing the recommendation, it's better to say we decided to make some adjustments, changes to the main idea, and we think it's better to implement it in this way, not in the way that it was recommended by the WHO is review team. And this item on the single WHO is policy is an exact example of this. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Points, I think, Margie, Denise, are all the points clear? Do you have questions for clarification between Michael and Alan and my observations?
Yeah, no, I understand what he's saying.
Thank you.
It's Alan. I captured in what we've been talking about a more general recommendation on interactions with review teams, both, you know, things related to budget and things related to how the board addresses them. So I think hopefully we'll capture that there.
Okay, thanks everybody. Margie?
Okay, so now I'm on item four related to compliance. And unfortunately Maggie was not able to attend this call, and I'll be happy to forward any questions to her if you have any. What I wanted to point out, though, from the chart is that, you know, there's a series of areas where you can see compliance-related improvements, and a lot of reports specifically, although they're generic to compliance, such as the one-year audit report, they actually, do go into great detail on what they're doing with respect to who is, and that's one of the main areas of auditing. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. So I'll pause before I go on to number five. Are there any questions related to compliance? Okay, I'm hearing none, so I'll move on to five. Five talks about the data accuracy issues, and specifically the area where I'd like to now invite Chris Gift to give you a little overview is related to the WHOIS informational website that we've been talking about, and I have sent some communication to you related to that. That work is certainly underway, and I think when you see it, you'll be very pleased with the amount of progress that we've made with respect to this topic. But I'll let Chris talk to you more about that.
Thank you very much, Margie. Everyone, this is Chris Gift. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Yes, so we have been hard at work on the informational portal. We have something that is we are going to invite the ATRT2 team to demo or to see a demo of it next week. So I think if Steve, Allison, and Margie will be coordinating that activity. We very much like and welcome your input on the structure that we've created. Is it meeting the request, the recommendation, as well as the content? You know, is it again hitting the? Are we hitting the target with what we wanted to achieve and what the ATRT one had recommended? The content is very rich, and you know, in some respects, may address our previous conversation that had been regarding a centralized document for collecting policy. You know, the website in many respects fulfills that function. I mean, it is not in itself a document, it's a website, but it does, there are a number of pages that fulfill that function, and Steve can talk through that briefly in terms of aggregating all the policy content.
Sure, so the site structured, there's a couple high-level topics that it attempts to address. The first being more generic, it's an About WHOIS section that details some of the history behind WHOIS and how it's evolved over time and some of the direction that WHOIS may take in the future. And that section also addresses more of a technical side, giving some background on the protocol, what the current specification is today, and some more detailed technical articles around using WHOIS and ways that people can get the most out of it. And we envision that that content will grow over time as we develop later phases of the project. There's also a policies section of the site, which is dedicated to what that earlier conversation was about, consolidating everything into a single source of the truth, if you will, detailing what obligations contractually different parties are required to meet, register our benefits and their responsibilities as well as just the index of all the registry and registrar agreements to date and the sections within those agreements that are WHOIS related. And lastly, it would address each of the different policy locations, so WDRP, RNAP, WMRP, and such. There's a third section of the site called Get Involved, which at a high level just points users to the different mechanisms that are available to them to get involved with WHOIS related work. It details what those groups are or avenues are that they can become more involved with. There's also an Improving WHOIS section, which today is dedicated towards more compliance-related activities so that people can actually submit WHOIS and accuracy complaints as well as the WHOIS lookup service unavailable. But we envision that growing to include some of our statistical analysis as well as monthly reporting from compliance so that we can start consolidating the Improving WHOIS efforts into one location. And then last is a knowledge center of WHOIS, which really aggregates content from all the different ICANN resources that have WHOIS-related information. So there's everything in there from links to the agreements for registries and registrars to FAQ questions to all kinds of reports and studies that were done from different organizations. So that at a high level is the work that we put into the WHOIS site today.
So that content, let me go back. Sorry, we were navigating the site at the same time. That content is all is written in English. We are seeking input on the content, on the function and the functionality of the website as well. So, you know, next week we'll have the demo, and we can also send out the content under a separate cover if people want to start reading that now and start giving input on that. And then once we have a good draft of that content, or we feel everybody feels comfortable about it, we'll then translate it into the languages we'll be supporting, because we definitely want to launch the service in the six languages. We don't want to just launch it in English. So that's sort of where we stand on this. Our timing right now, depending on turnaround and other people, you know, depending on feedback next week, our timing is in translation. Excuse me?
Oh, for translation?
And is about another 2 weeks after
that.
Yeah, it'll
be roughly around the 23rd.
Yeah. So, again, it depends on input, but if everything goes smoothly, then we're looking at early October for a production launch of this.
And this is Margie. I wanted to highlight some of the issues with creating the content for the web page. A lot of the content needed to be developed now, and you couldn't really just use old content because of the changes that have occurred over the last few months with the new contract. So there's a lot of, you know, new information there that, you know, brings in the obligations, for example, into the 2013 REA for validation or verification, that kind of information. And when you take a look at the Knowledge Center, we'll try to schedule a demo when you guys meet next week. You'll see there's a lot of documents in there, and as we reviewed the big, you know, huge Excel spreadsheet of all the documents that relate to Who Is, in, you know, on the iCandidate.org website, we needed to filter it down to something that was useful as opposed to just, you know, outdated information. And so we're trying to really have this Knowledge Center be a place where you can quickly find the key documents that you need to be able to understand Who Is. Do we have any questions related to the informational portal?
Well, if I may, before any questions,
sure.
I just want to correct something. This is Chris Gift again. I know we're looking at the status, the page, the document that was shared, and we're seeing, you know, the dates there. And I just, Steve was pointing out that I had communicated an early October date, which is in conflict with the dates on the document. And that's correct. We're comfortable with 23rd, but that's assuming that what we've built is okay and is meeting the requirements. And so, you know, we'll have to get information from you on that. And then lastly, that we would launch the foreign translations a week later. To be frank, I'd rather launch them all at the same time. I'd rather not favor English in this case. So I'd rather launch everything on the 30th of September. But would welcome any feedback on that as well. Thank you.
Alan.
There's a famous line from a movie which starts off, "Frankly, Scarlett, I'll let you finish the end." I don't think the dates matter from our point of view. Our report's going to be coming out at the end of December. We're going to write it before this stuff is probably launched or proven that it's right. We're dealing with how is ICANN overall implementing, not, at least I'm not particularly concerned, was, you know, by the 30th of October, when we have to freeze the draft report, is everything completed? And I don't think we're going to rewrite the whole section in December just because the world has progressed slightly. So I think basically what we're looking for is, how are these things progressing? Are they being done? Are we likely to have the problem that the review team was calling out addressed in the reasonable terms? So certainly from my point of view, I'm not going to have any angst over whether it's the 23rd and 30th of September.
Thank you, Alan.
Margie,
any other questions?
Brian.
Sure.
Yeah, Brian, just want to say, Chris, thank you very much for the offer of a demo. I think that's really helpful for us in terms of our work. Secondly, if you were inclined to send the content out by email in advance of next week, you know, certainly the ATRT2 members who are working on this particular assessment of implementation, Michael and Alan, might give them an opportunity to come to the demo with some thoughts formed and some reactions that might help you, you know, move toward your launch date more efficiently as well. But that's a good opportunity for us. But I agree with Alan's points, general points, which is it comes back to assessment of implementation. And that's something that has to, you know, work its way through our report one way or the other. The mid-October issuance of our report, you know, while we can benefit from seeing the demo and seeing what you're doing so far, we do have a final report on December 31st, so we'll have a following-on window of opportunity to look deeper into what you're doing here. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Brian. And we'll send out that information, the content, along with some screenshots so that the demo can be fruitful for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. And then the other thing I'd like Chris to highlight is the other aspect of the work he's doing, which relates to the search capability and the statistics reporting. So, Chris, do you want to give an overview of that?
Sure. The statistical analysis, I'll start with that. Again, this is Chris Gift. Where we have so over the past few months we've been trying to figure out, understand how to conduct the statistical analysis, and you know we've had several discussions around that. We do have a proposal, a viable proposal from a vendor, so it's within the price range, within what we have budgeted for this year. You know, originally, if you all recall, I had been trying to get to a proposal where we could do this quarterly rather than annually. I know the recommendation is annually, but that had been my goal. But the price point we're looking at is such that it has to be annually. We wouldn't be able to do it with greater frequency. The study would basically follow a lot of the NORC methodologies that were established by them. It ends up being a very, well, no surprise, it just ends up being a very good methodology for doing this kind of study. So it would be similar in many respects. We are reaching out to another vendor, or have reached out to another vendor, to get yet another proposal to compare. But to be frank, well, I should say that. We've reached out to five vendors all told. We only got one proposal that we thought was viable so far. We've reached out to a sixth vendor over the past couple of weeks to attempt to get yet another proposal that we thought we could then compare to the one we have. The timing, unfortunately, is the implementation timing is long, and so we're negotiating with them right now to see if we can bring that in. Right now, to be honest, it's about 5 months, which we feel is while the price is right, it's far too long to implement. So we're discussing with a means of bringing that implementation in to just a few, you know, whether, you know, our goal is to get something within 2 months. So anyway, that's where we stand right now. If all goes smoothly, we hope to have yet another proposal within about 3 weeks, and then we can rapidly make a decision then, and then it would be 2 months after that. So, you know, probably by the end of the year, early January. And I know there are some dates in the document, so I hope I'm not contradicting those. But sometime in December, early January, we have good visibility into those dates and that we feel comfortable with them. Lastly, in the search, when it comes to the search, we had looked at the option of outsourcing the search to organizations that do that today. And after talking about it with many people in the community, and members of ATRT2, we decided that that was not viable, that was not acceptable. And so we're moving forward with doing it in-house. The issue that we have in-house is that the development resources necessary, the development team that can do this work, is currently completely, they're tasked, they're busy with other projects that have been ongoing for a number of months as well. They are rolling off those projects in early October. So in early October, this is their very next project that they are going to work on, and it is approximately about two weeks to do the analysis, they were saying, to finish off some of the analysis, and about 2 months to develop the search. So we should have the search completed by year end, if I recall right, end of December. Oh, yeah. So you can just speak up.
And then agreements. I think one of the important keys for the search functionality to be successful is for us to start building a little stronger relationship with each of the registries and registrars that we want to work with, and making sure that the search actually functions the way we need it to. So we just have to also get on the agenda to start scheduling some time to meet with them.
Just make sure we're on the right list, that's all, for their search.
It's Alan. I'm having a senior moment. I don't know what search you're talking about.
Oh, sorry. A global. I apologize. The global Who Is search. That was one of the requests that.
Okay. A global Who Is. That's not a.
Yes.
I wouldn't call that a search. Okay.
Yeah.
Look up.
Yeah. Look up. Yeah. Yes. And that's it for our update.
Thank you, Chris. Any other questions on that part of the functionality? Alan, is your hand up?
No, sorry, that was to explain my senior moment.
Okay. Then I'll move on now to the data access, the issues related to privacy and proxy, number 10. There's a lot of information in the chart, but the area I wanted to highlight is that work will be commencing in the GNSO fairly quickly to kick off a PDP, a policy development process, on the issue of privacy and proxy services. What's going to kick that work off is a staff report that's to be published tomorrow that identifies the areas where policy input is needed to be able to create the privacy and proxy accreditation program. And so as you when you see that report, you'll see that it's done some analysis based upon prior work in the community, such as the Who Is Review Team report and other work that highlighted the areas where you might need policy input, such as, you know, what are the rules that should apply to reveal a privacy or, you know, proxy registration, to reveal the underlying customer. When would you be required to relay communications? What types of basic services should apply? So those are the kinds of questions that the report will highlight so that the GNSO Council can vote and kick off create the charter and the working group to start off that effort. And then simultaneously with the GNSO Council's work, staff is looking at it from an operational perspective to see what are the operational areas that we need input, we need to develop. So, for example, in the current processes, the registrar team has an accreditation process that they follow. They do due diligence. They get an application. Those sorts of things. You know, what are the operational issues that staff needs to identify in order to kick off an accreditation program? And so those are the aspects related to the privacy and proxy services that you'll see some work being done. And the timing of it is really linked to the conclusion of the policy development process that the GNSO would have to undertake. And for those of you, obviously, you've heard about the PDP process and the length of time in resolving issues. But that's a required step in developing this program. Alan, do you have a question about the privacy and proxy?
I do. Two questions. You said there's going to be a staff report issued tomorrow. Where does the formal issue report fit into all this?
Okay. So this stems from the RAA-related work. And if you recall, back when the board kicked off the negotiations for the RAA, it also asked for an issue report to be written, and that issue report was already written. That's why it's listed in the chart back in 2012. And then we published a final issue report, which essentially said that the policy development process should wait until there's a staff report on the conclusion of the RAA negotiations that identifies the issues that are still remaining to be resolved. And so that's the report that's going to be published tomorrow. And because there is no separate issue report for this process to kick off, that's, we're, we're using the issue report from the RAA, which was published about roughly a year and a half ago.
Okay.
The staff report is identifying those issues as if it were an issue report.
Okay, but you're going to be recommending that the privacy proxy be handled in the same PDP as the other issues, or separate them out into two PDPs?
Report identifies what the outstanding issues are based upon the high and medium priority recommendations that came from the GNSL and the ALAC report. And as you look at that report, the only issues that were identified as unresolved yet were the privacy and proxy issue and a UDRP issue, which was subsequently dealt with through a PDP that just was recently concluded. So really that is the only issue that's being dealt with out of the RAA.
Okay, I thought that there were others. However, you've wandered into my next question. The privacy proxy whole issue is tightly interwoven with the UDRP. The UDRP is presumably going to be subject to a major review a year after deployment or whatever the timing is. Is the privacy proxy PDP going to be recommending that alterations be done to the UDRP as necessary with regard to privacy proxy reveal, or are you going to try to keep that separate?
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the recommendations that came out of the UDRP PDP that just concluded address a lot of those issues, including how you deal with UDRPs in the context of privacy and proxy services.
Not really, because there were
not
so
really.
Many unknowns still. For privacy proxy that are handled by the registrar itself, it's easy.
Okay. So that is something that could be addressed in through the chartering process that the GNSL does.
Okay, you're not making an explicit recommendation at this point.
No, it's not.
Okay.
This is just recommendations to the GNSO Council on how to manage, because it's a big topic. And, Alan, you know a lot of the issues. And so we were trying to provide guidance and reference points to reflect back on some of the work that's been done in the past so that work isn't lost somehow.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
I think September, October 13 is rather optimistic at this point, but yes.
The other area I wanted to also highlight was the internationalized registration data that for international characters. As you look at the chart, you'll see that a lot of that work is contingent upon some of the policy work that has to be undertaken with respect to translation and transliteration of data. And then there is a separate effort underway to try to identify the model for presenting internationalized domain data. And so that work is being kicked off. We're calling it the IRD team. And that IRD team is, I think their first meeting is scheduled for next week, so that's being kicked off. And then the other aspect of the international domain name area or internationalized data relates to the work done by the IETF. And so on the chart, I've indicated estimates on when the IETF will come up with its recommendations from its, what we call the WEIRDS group, which is trying to come up with a technical protocol to be able to deliver data in an internationalized format. Any questions about this subject?
Lots of questions, but nothing we need to talk about today.
Yeah, it's a difficult topic. And I think that's all I wanted to highlight from this chart.
Yeah, I will make an editorial comment because it's part of the what we're looking at in terms of the review. It's well understood that the issues are very complex here and are tied to a lot of other work. And in some cases, such as transliteration and translation, it's not quite obvious how the world will unfold. At the same time, it's disturbing that ICANN doesn't have any sort of interim guidance for registrars for what they put in who is when the registration data is in another script and not representable directly in 7-bit ASCII. It really leaves the registrars in limbo. And one would have hoped there was something interim.
Thank you, Alan. I can appreciate that. It's a very complex issue. And so, Brian, I think that concludes our presentation.
Okay, thanks very much, Margie. I'm trying to get myself back to Adobe, so I don't see
Michael
very...
calling from Moscow. May I intervene for a while?
Yes, certainly. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, you see, I would like again to state that the implementation of items 12 to 14 is being done using slightly different methodology from what was proposed by the WHOIS review team. So, of course, the question is complicated, we should admit this. However, what was suggested, proposed by the WHOIS review team was something that was not accepted by the board and by the staff. So the question is that if we took and followed the methodology of creating just a smaller expert group, especially for IDNs, etc., then maybe some complications would be solved and avoided. So with all that, I think that, we should admit that there is a full right of the board and of the staff not to accept the proposals of the, not to accept the recommendations of the review team. But here we see that the methodology is different from what was proposed, and maybe it would be much more reasonable to try to use what was proposed rather than to talk about complications with another methodology which is implemented in practice. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. How much time do we have? We've got about 38 minutes left and a couple of more items to go through, so I think we have ample time. Michael, let me offer a couple of perspectives I have, and they're just mine. I'm certainly open to others who see it differently or have slightly different views. And I've heard you pick up on the comments that I made in Los Angeles about if you look at the affirmation of commitments that the board is not obligated to accept the recommendations of a review team, and I believe that is the case. And certainly the statements that the board did not accept the recommendations of the WHOIS review team are on the record and part of the thinking right now. And I think that's certainly been an area that's been subject to debate, too, between the review team members and ICANN staff and board as to whether there was, in fact, acceptance or not. That's part of our record. And I also think it's fair to say that if the board, for whatever reason, did not accept recommendations of a review team consistent with the affirmation of commitments, it would be expected that a clear rationale for not accepting them would be part of the record and communicated. And I'm putting ifs in all those places appropriately because I don't think we've come to hard conclusions on the questions, or perhaps we will land in a place where there's a difference of opinion or a disagreement. But there would be an expectation of a clear explanation as to why it wasn't accepted. But to your next point, it's certainly if the board sees issues where improvement can be made on accountability and transparency being born from the work of a review team, even if they didn't accept recommendations, that's certainly appropriate. And taking your own stock, and as you are working on this along with Alan, as to how ICANN, the board and staff, are going about implementing the actions that they've decided to take arising out of the review team work is really the central focus. But I wanted to offer those thoughts because I know we're getting toward a report and toward conclusions in some way, and I think those are a little bit more flesh on the bone than I offered in Los Angeles. I'd certainly be open to hearing other people's perspectives on that as well. Alan.
Yeah, I think the real issue.
Fine, thank you. I do accept this approach.
Yeah, Brian, it's Alan. I think the real issue is clarity. I don't want to belabor the point of the board resolution on this, but when a moderately large number of intelligent people read it and read it differently than other moderately intelligent people, then there's a clarity issue. And I think we've already decided we will be addressing that in our report, and I don't think we need to go over it here. The real issue on some of these recommendations, it has been the amount of time it's taken to get off the ground. And, that may be the most troublesome part when you start analyzing it. Pretty much everything is being worked on at some level. The completion time for some of them is so far out, however, that it's disturbing. The completion time is likely to be they are likely to be far from complete by the time the next WHOIS review team kicks off, if there is one. And that's a little bit troublesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Marjorie, I see your hand is up.
Yes, one thing I wanted to clarify or understand Michael's perspective, because he said the board did not adopt the IDN-related recommendations, and as I went through it, I don't see where that happened other than with the timing. Definitely the timing, because of the policy work that needs to take place, that sort of thing. But I thought as I looked at the recommendations that each of the recommendations were being addressed in some way, just the timing was different. Is that my understanding correct or incorrect?
Michael?
Yes, I'm just muting the line. I can agree with this. Thank you.
Brian, it's Alan. One more comment on that, then I see Olivier's hand is up. Margie, I think your analysis is reasonably correct based on what we know today. What we learned in the earlier reports from staff, it was not nearly as clear. And again, that comes back to the clarity in reporting, which I talked about in my first intervention. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you for clarifying that. And Brian, there was a separate point I wanted to make, if I may.
Sure. And I'm going to leave you. Thank you.
Sure, and maybe just add Chris to this. Chris wanted to add one more thing, if you could add him to the queue.
Okay. Did you have something to offer, Margie?
No, I just wanted to, Chris didn't know, I forgot Chris wanted to mention one more thing. That's all I had.
Okay. If you don't mind, Chris, Olivier's had his hand up, Olivier, and then Chris.
Please.
Yes, thanks very much, Brian. It's Olivier speaking. Just a quick question, since we have staff here. Has the timing that is on the document, has that been affected in any way by the creation of the expert working group on directory services?
No. This is Denise, no.
Okay.
On the various recommendations of the implementation project. Is that your question? Yes.
The timing there been affected anyway? Because you might have been told, well, there's a new group that's working on this, so we'll put less resources on the implementation of WHOIS RT. That's not the case.
Yeah, the board was very clear that they were directing a parallel approach to sort of parallel approach while improving the current system while a group looked at. Of reinventing WHOIS, so for the community's consideration. So these have always been treated as separate and parallel tracks.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, and Chris, please.
Yes, thank you, Brian. I apologize. This is I should have maybe added this as an agenda item, and I apologize if this is very much off topic. It's just I wanted to take the opportunity to invite the ATRT2 team to a demo, if they were interested, on public comment. In my last discussion with you on Monday, if I recall, around public comment, I pretty much said that in some respects, you know, the work was not exactly dead in the water, but, you know, we had tried an experiment and it failed, and we were then pivoting and thinking about trying something else. And we've actually done quite a bit of work that had been going on in the background as well. But anyway, I just feel I'm very comfortable with what I've seen, and I think it's very interesting and exciting and more in line with what you guys were talking about earlier in the week about, you know, solving these more direct problems. And I would very much like to demo it if people are interested to really get your feedback. Anyway, it's just an offer if you would like to do that. I can certainly work through Margie or others to schedule that.
Sure. We'd be happy to take that up. Thank you very much. Anybody else on this topic before we turn to item 4 on the agenda? Okay, I don't see any hands. So everyone on ICANN staff, thank you very much for that. Very helpful. And looking forward to speaking to you again before we get to the end of the year. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. On item 4, progress update from template and issue owners. We had a call a couple of days ago and a partial attendance from the review team members. I'm not sure how much there's overlap or how many members from the last call who went to the last call are here, but let me put forward what I did on the last call in terms of templates. What we need at a minimum from all who are developing templates, myself included, is posted before we get to our face-to-face meeting next week. The full templates, as full as they can be made in terms of having the elements, the background elements, the background and the bylaws from the policies, from the procedures, and as full an analysis as you can make at this point in time based on all the facts as you know them. We need to have very informed discussions about whether a given template is going to actually evolve into a full-blown recommendation in the report. Proposed recommendations. So we really can't afford gaps in those templates and be trying to fill them in as we're sitting together for only 2 days worth of time in Washington, D.C. So again, I'm going to ask everyone to please get those posted the end of the week. This week would be fantastic. No later than next Monday would be good to give everyone at least a few days or a couple of days opportunity to walk through the templates and be prepared for what has to be a fairly robust debate around proposed recommendations. And again, we have a standing offer to the ICANN staff, as they did today and as they did 2 days ago, to provide us with additional background information that helps inform our views on these topics. So that's what's needed for next week's face-to-face meeting. We want to come out of next week's face-to-face meeting with a clear understanding of which ones are going to go forward in the draft report and have some consensus there. Any questions on the templates and next item is work preparing for the Washington face-to-face, but any question on the templates themselves? Alan?
Yeah, there's no question. I'm just serving notice. I am not meeting my commitment by tomorrow. I will do my damnedest to try to get them ready for Monday. My schedule has collapsed on itself over the last few weeks, and I just haven't been able to put the time into it needed. But I do hope for Monday.
You're not alone in that category. I'm in the same boat myself, and I apologize. Olivier.
Thanks, Brian. It's Olivier speaking. I'm looking at the inventory page, which is a big Excel document, the 9th of September version. And I still note a number in the action items. There are a number of schedules to be decided, and I'm not quite sure where we are with those, whether they're yet to be decided or was that to be decided because one didn't quite know when the information would be made available. Or was that to be decided, as in for us to decide now?
So that's my question on there. Apart from this, I have noted that there is some movement on many of the draft observations or recommendations, whichever they are. But there's still a heck of a lot of information that we're still awaiting, and I'm a little concerned that we're already designing templates when there is a request for some more information in many of these cases. Now, unfortunately, I missed the last call, so I might be asking a stupid question, and I do apologize if that is a stupid question, but I'd like to be reassured on this. Thank you.
So you're referring to the inventory document, Olivier? I want to make sure I'm looking in the same place you are.
That's correct, yeah. ATRT2 inventory, it's the 8th of September version. That can be downloaded from the ATRT2 documents page.
And you said there were some schedules specifically on there that were not yet determined?
Correct, yeah. It's a schedule to be TBD, basically.
Brian, this is Larissa. I can address that if I may.
Thanks very much.
That to be determined was placed in there in the expectation that there would be some further refinement and explanation from the review team relative to the specific recommendations. So once that would be available, if needed to interact with the ICANN staff or to provide clarifications, we would have those scheduled. But as it stands right now, Olivier, all the information that has been drafted so far has been reviewed by staff, and in addition to the meetings that we've scheduled this week and will continue to schedule as necessary, we've also started responding in writing to some specific points that have been drafted and discussed so far. So the TBD referred to the fact that more concrete formulation of recommendations perhaps was still to take place before the scheduling of any additional meetings.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. Thank you.
But if I may, I would like some examples to make sure that I can follow up of the items that you are still waiting on. I do know of a handful, and we're working through those, but if there's something in particular that you have that's pivotal to the work that you're doing, please let me know so that I can make sure to get that to you.
Okay. Do you want it now? Or I can just pick any at random. For example, recommendation 24, assess ombudsman relationship and confirm framework is consistent with international standards. There is a draft observation of recommendation on there, and then next to it there is a number of things: review transcript or recording from Durban session with Ombudsman, that's TBD, discuss proposed observation recommendation with implementers, and that involved Amy Stathos in this. So I wasn't quite sure how far we were down this road.
Well, relative to the review of the transcript, that was something that I believe Avery and others that were planning to work on this were going to do. Staff is preparing a clarification and a response on this point, but the action items that are captured in that column that you're looking at, there is a mixture of action items from the review team as well as staff.
Yeah, no, I've certainly noticed that, and I've noticed the blue color for the review team and the green color for the staff. So, and I find that pretty helpful. It's just I'm trying to cross the T's and dot the I's at the moment, and so that we can really push forward in our face-to-face with having the additional additional information column starting to be filled up as to where we're going from there. But I'm as long as this page, I'm using this as a dashboard, as long as this page is updated, that's great. Thank you.
Yes, it will be, and more information and updates will be forthcoming from staff as well.
Okay, thank you. Anything else before we move to the preparation for DC meeting? And I do, in the any other business, have an update on the independent work of the independent expert, too. Okay, seeing no hands, preparing for the DC meeting, we don't yet have an agenda out. I can say that there are going to be what I did in speaking with the independent expert was invite their participation as well to provide, for Mark to provide a full update to the review team so that the review team could have a sense of where things were with their work. That's one item that will be on the agenda for sure. We now have the offer to see a live demonstration of WHOIS tool that was developed by Chris and his team, and that's certainly informative and useful in terms of our work. I think we do have to be careful to guard the agenda to save the balance, the majority of the time for healthy discussions around whether or not we move forward with the recommendation, and also a draft outline of the report to review as well. So those two items I'm aware of as being on the agenda. Marisa, did you have anything else from the staff side that we might want on the agenda for next week?
Yes, Brian, I do. We're planning we're proposing to have an update from regarding the benchmarks and metrics project, as we had discussed some time ago. We've engaged a One World Trust, and the project has begun. So ideally next Friday, we'd like to have 20 to 30 minutes on the agenda to provide you with an update on that.
That's very good. Metrics is an important one. Will One World Trust be joining, or is it just an update from staff at this point?
They're located in London, so they will be joining remotely.
They'll be joining remotely. Okay. All right, so that, the demo on WHOIS, an update from the independent expert, anything else that we need to consider for the agenda?
Brian, it's Alan.
Yes.
Yeah, to the extent possible, I think these demos and other discussions have to be as concise as possible. We've only scheduled 2 days, and we really can't afford to give up a third of a day or a half a day to these other things at the expense of having the discussions that we've scheduled the meeting for. So
yeah,
I would ask to the extent possible they be kept concise and early in the meeting so we can factor what we've learned into the rest of the discussions.
Your point is very well taken, Alan, and we may get to a point where we say let's push that demo to the following week so we can maximize time. I just want to hear what else might be something we want on the agenda. I think the independent experts report and the interaction with One World Trust and staff on metrics is important work for the face-to-face. Larissa, what else do you have?
I just wanted to suggest that for the exact reason that Alan just brought up, that the demos might be scheduled, and I believe the demo is 20 minutes or so, that it might be scheduled during the working lunch hour if the group would be open to that.
Not a bad idea. Anything else in terms of items for the agenda beyond walking through draft recommendations and an outline of the report? Okay, well, let's...
Olivier
let's go.
Has his hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Olivier. Olivier?
Oh, sorry. I was not on mute. I was not muted, and I muted myself when starting to speak. That's very clever. hello, Brian. It's Olivier speaking, and hopefully unmuted now. I was going to suggest that when we have our face-to-face, we set a short amount of time aside to look at this full document inventory, if you want, looking at all of the recommendations for ATRT from ATRT 1, and that we then make a decision on those recommendations where we believe there's no further recommendation necessary, and we therefore put the issue to bed on those, and that will reduce the size of the table and certainly will introduce some clarity as to where our work really is going to be.
Makes sense. Thank you for that. Any other inputs on the agenda, items to be on the agenda? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands. Risa, thanks for that. Let's put together a draft agenda for the 2 days and take a look at that and get it circulated, if you don't mind. And seven, any other business, let me offer the conversation I had with Mark McFadden from ICC just 2 days ago, I believe it was. Here's where ICC is in their work, and that is on the analysis of the PDP, GNSO PDP process. The good news is that basically the data collection on PDPs is effectively finished. There's still ways that they want to slice the data, if you will, or present the data to the review team, and they're working through that. But to a large degree, that part of their exercise, the data collection part, is completed, and they feel that's well on track. The not-so-great news and the not-unsurprising news is that their outreach it did move slowly over the month of August due to vacation holidays. And of the 106 persons that they were targeting to have fill out a survey or have some interview, they've completed 20 of the 106. The encouraging news is that with holidays over, it's starting to uptick. They're getting more people scheduling and being available. So he's comfortable that they can get the lion's share of that piece of their work completed by the end of the month. We were looking for the middle of the month. That may not be realistic, but if it's largely completed by the end of the month, then that's still a timely presentation of that piece of their work, in my view. What we did talk about was, with respect to the draft report that we're going to put out and the proposed recommendations, the way I communicated it to Mark, and I certainly am looking for guidance here, but on the phone, on the spot, I suggested that it would be important for ICC to have really the bones of their report drafted, whether all of their interviews with targets are complete or not, and whether their final analysis has or conclusions have been reached or not, that as full a report as they could provide to go out as part of our draft report and propose recommendations as an appendix or as a companion document would be important. It gives the community an opportunity to see the work of the independent expert with as much substance as possible at that moment in time. He, based on that description of what I was asking, felt that they would be able to deliver that, given where their work is now and what they have in front of them. That really was the full scope of the discussion and where they are in their work right now. Questions, suggestions, clarifications on those points? Looking for hands. Okay, I see no hands. Let me add one other point, too. Mark did say, and he asked because he felt it was a delicate question, but that he and their team discussed at some length whether or not to interview ATRT2 members who were either former GNSO chairs or chairs of PDPs, and after their own deliberation decided to not ask those members to be the subjects of a survey, given the fact that they have a role here on the review team, even acknowledging the fact that they have the experience of participating directly in those processes. He was looking to me for guidance there. I frankly, you know, I can see it both ways, but also wanting to respect the independent aspect of their work, which is important to them. Didn't want to reverse a deliberation, a thoughtful deliberation that they had. So on that question, I said I really would personally, Brian, leave it to you to make that determination. Does anybody feel strongly about that decision that they've made or have other considerations for me?
It's Alan.
Alan.
Yeah, I guess there's only a couple of us who are in that position. There's Avery and me and, you know, to a lesser extent, Olivier, I think. Maybe there's someone else I may have missed. But I guess I would have thought that they would have been better served by including us and, you know, labeling them to, you know, look at it carefully and decide to what extent there are, you know, things that they shouldn't be considering and what extent not. Between Avery and me, we've been very, very heavily involved and have seen perhaps a better cross-section of PDPs than most other participants around. So I guess I disagree. I'll certainly honor their judgment and you know, I'm not in a position to override it, but my personal feeling is that was probably not the best decision.
Thanks, Alan. Any other points? Okay. Any other business? Olivier.
Yes, Brian, thank you. It's Olivier speaking. Just on Alan's point just now, I believe that, this team here is going to make assessments. Would it be incorrect to assume that both Avery and Alan would be able to bring part of their own knowledge in the PDP, in the final recommendations themselves as well, rather than having the team interrogate them and ask them questions about it?
Well, I think clearly we're all going to bring our own perspectives and experiences to bear as we go through these tasks. Again, we have to be as impartial, independent, and objective as we can be, and we have some safeguards in place for that. So I absolutely anticipate that Alan and Avery and their work on this review team are going to bring their perspectives to their assessment of these pieces of the work, the PDP pieces, no doubt. As for the independent expert, as a group who are carrying out a task and are trying to, you know, approach that task from the position they think is best suited to deliver what we're looking for, you know, I wanted to show some deference to Mark on that point and to ICC on that point. If there's a strong feeling that the quality of our work is going to suffer because of that decision, we can certainly revisit it with them.
It's Alan. I'm certainly not suggesting we force the point. Given that Avery's and my position on many of these issues are polar opposites, I think it would have added an interesting perspective to their review.
Fair enough. Well, we're still in the early parts of September,
yeah.
First half of September. We can keep this question open. The work isn't completed yet if we want to revisit it. Any other business? Okay, hearing none, seeing no hands, for myself included, everybody please, templates in by Monday at the latest to give folks time to go through it and we can have a very productive 2 days together in D.C. And safe travels to everyone and we'll be seeing you shortly. Thank you.
Thank you.